Catch up with the entire season of Pandora anytime on the CW app or download it on iTunes. You can also watch Pandora in Canada on the Space Channel.
Hey, this is Mark A. Altman, executive producer of Pandora, and we're here for Time Out of Mind, episode 107. Joining us once again is executive producer Steve Crozier.
Hello.
Director Mike Hurst.
Hello.
And making his first appearance on Unboxing Pandora, Tommy Jenkins is here.
Hey, how you doing?
As Allison Pevney. Welcome. Now, if we all had as cool a voice as you.
I know, Tommy, can you just talk the whole time during this?
Just read the phone book.
It's just so relaxing, and I love it. Like, when you lecture in
class. Don't anyone fall asleep during
this,
please.
I just start loving it.
That's right. That's right. This is the first time we've seen you since we wrapped.
So it is indeed, yes.
It's good to see you.
Thank you very much for having me.
And you're then, one of the professors, the only professor that did not get arrested at the end of the season.
Apparently so,
did you hear
yes.
You were smart.
You were smart.
I hopped on a plane and got out of Dodge, man. I did hear. What happened? What went down?
Well, Vikash and Noah were hiking up by the waterfall, and they went over a fence and ended up in a military installation and got arrested. And they found all these pictures of Noah with a gun, which was him
his
rehearsing
sniper
for
rifle
1
for 12 and 13.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm
He's like, I'm an actor. They're like, okay.
They called Sufo. Sufo had to come and bail them out of jail.
You're joking.
No.
They came to the rap party in their hiking clothes, apparently.
That's hysterical. Wait till I talk to them.
Yeah, and give them shit.
I really will.
And they say Americans are dumb. Anyway, this is a really interesting episode because it's the first episode. The first six episodes are really about introducing our characters, and this is the point at which the show starts to evolve into a more serialized, mythology-based series. So it's a demarcation point for the evolution of the show, and I think it does a great job of doing that. So we're going to take a look at episode 107, Time Out of Mind, right now. Oh, here comes the recap. Here, so we can see everything that's going on. You know, Mike, what I love about this is when we set out to do this episode, the plan had always been to do a time travel episode that wasn't time travel.
With no time machine, yeah. That was your initial outset, view of it. And we met a restaurant, didn't we, at Culver City, and you laid it out on the table sort of thing, what it was going to be. And it was it was your way of doing time travel without needing a TARDIS or a time machine or anything that's kind of clunky or been done before.
And I think it's so fun because, it's like nobody's slingshotting around the sun. Nobody's getting into a machine and pressing buttons or into a
DeLorean.
A DeLorean, thank you. So it's a really cool way to do time travel, this kind of almost Native American ritual, past lives thing.
Psychological, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's really, really fun. And I think it's a great episode. It's a straight up A and B story. We have the A story, which is Jax's story. And then, of course, the B story, which is about our James Bond, Xander Duvall, what's going on, the mole inside of CIS.
Yeah, we tried to give a bit of film noir for that, sci-fi film noir sort of thing.
Mike, do you want to talk about the history of this hotel room?
At
the Marinella?
This is the world's worst hotel room in the most expensive hotel. Apparently, it's the room that Sylvester Stallone stayed in, or does stay in, and was just staying in when they were filming, I guess it was Rambo. And it's awful. The whole hotel is... It's like they looked inside Donald Trump's brain and then built it.
Well, what he's saying is it's so kitschy and everything's gold and down in the lobby and it's crazy. I mean, it's just
Bulgarian
so
Vegas.
Tacky.
It's
it
so
definitely
bad.
Is that.
Yeah, and
but it's a five-star hotel. It's a five-star hotel where people like Sylvester Stallone stay. So there you go.
Yeah, in fact, who was telling us? I guess they got into the elevator, and it was Stallone and Jennifer Flavin and the bodyguard. And he put out his hand and said, "Take the next car."
Yeah,
it was Billy D. Like was
oh Richard Blackmore.
Richard Blackmore was staying at the hotel, and the doors open. It's Stallone, and the Stallone standing in the back with Jennifer Flavin. There's a huge Bulgarian bodyguard standing in the doors, and he goes, "No." And then the door, and Rich is like, okay, and the door's just closed. They're like, I'll wait till the next one.
That is the perfect way to see
Stallone. That was it. That was how he saw Stallone. And Richard Blackwood's a big guy, so you don't want to mess with the Bulgarian. Like, as you find out here, these are Bulgarian locals, these guys.
Yeah, these are pretty tough stunt guys.
Yeah. Mike, this was a great stunt that you put together. This whole fight scene you had choreographed before you even showed up.
Yeah, I used to be a kickboxing champion, so I do understand a little bit about this stuff. And what's funny about this fight scene is we did have a double to run through it all. And we did a take where they did the whole fight scene with the double. But in actual fact, in terms of the, what you see on screen, it's Priscilla the whole time.
She was great with all the fight stuff. Surprise, yeah. She loved it. And she makes it realistic, too, because it's like these guys are huge and she's still pulling off the fight.
If she can do it, if an actor can do the fight scene, it's always better from the directing standpoint because you can see the facial expressions. Because without facial expressions and some kind of story being told, it's just a stunt show. It doesn't mean anything. So when Priscilla does it all for me, it's so much better. And she was really into it. So that's what you see on the show.
It's a kick-ass opening, man.
Yeah, I love that teaser. And, you know, I loved it so much that when we were cutting 105 and Thomas reads, you know, her mind, originally it was like a flashback to 101 or whatever. And it's like, this was two episodes later. I'm like, oh, we're going to use this. And it's just so weird. It's like, what the hell is that?
I enjoyed watching that when I watched 105. I was like, what the hell? I checked it.
Tommy, did Jax get demoted for falling asleep in your class? What's going on there?
I don't know what's happening there. I just think she's a little spaced out there, obviously.
She's not human. She's not human. Give her a break.
Possibly be boring.
No, there's no way. We just did 109 today, and that was actually a continuation to this lecture about the Great Migration.
Mm. It was a very interesting monologue to do with this, and I thought it was very informative, and I think it sort of brought together a lot of information for people during this that they didn't really realize up until this point. So it was a lot.
Yeah, the mythology of the whole, you know, how we ended up colonizing space and, you know, what happened to the Earth and the whole backstory. It's really interesting, and I think you do it in a way that's compelling. And, of course, here's Miriam Diabo from The Living Daylights. For our Bond story, we had to have a Bond girl, and Douglas Reith from Downton Abbey, who is a wonderful actor, and you know, you wouldn't know this is
so
the CW.
We need some adults on this show. Come on, like, you know.
He's so brilliant in this role as well.
Marianne was also in a 1982 British really weird horror film called Extro.
Oh, yes.
Which I kept asking about, much to her annoyance, because she has never seen it and has no interest in it whatsoever. And I just would not shut up about Extro.
But she was happy to talk about Something Is Out There, which was this TV show she did for NBC in the early 80s.
Oh,
she's
yeah,
like,
she
I was on a
that.
TV show before. Yeah. It was like, Something Is Out There.
Yeah. And it was another sci-fi show, wasn't it, at the time?
It came on right after V was canceled,
right.
And she did Something Is Out There. So it was really, really funny.
You're still emailing her questions, Mike, right?
Every day.
She's got to answer eventually.
You know what? It's probably the wrong Maryam Darby. I'm probably bombarding the wrong person.
But I love when people talk about Tommy. They're always like, oh, he's the teacher that's not an asshole. I like him. And I don't mean actors, because they're all lovely. But in terms of the teachers, he's the one who's like...
He's a nice guy.
The sweetheart who cares about his students. And
you're also looking. Putting the most on the line with basically your life and your career with being a resistance with the ADAR.
It is true, and trying to hide that and keep that under wraps that no one knows about. And so for me, that was an interesting journey going through the show, knowing that as my sort of underlying story and trying to play that through. And I think it was in Ep 2 that we give the...
Yeah, in 102.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I think Thomas asked me a question. I kind of feel like I slightly ignore it when he asks if I'm a part of that. So...
Yeah, you sort of ducked that question.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Dodging the bullets.
Next question.
Yeah,
please,
moving
thank
on.
You.
Yeah.
But I love Douglas. I mean, he only came to play for a couple of days, but he takes it so seriously. But again, such a nice guy, such a pro.
He gives me a sort of Edward Fox vibe when I look at him. He looks like Edward Fox to me.
We talked about that on set, and it's like... It's like we have M, you know, like these, like Bernard Lee or Edward Fox, or, you know, he's kind of like M in the Bond movies. Here we are in the black hole again. I love those shoes. We really need to see more of those shoes. It's pretty cool.
Everyone's favorite spot.
Yeah, well, almost
except Pevney. Pevney hasn't had a chance to get into.
You never went to the black hole, did you?
Never went to the black hole, yeah.
You're not a big drinker.
Yeah. Wait, did Osborne ever go in there? Vikash went in there, and it was very funny how he acted like out of place. It was really, they invited him for a drink.
One.
He's like, maybe I'll stay. It was funny, yeah. That was actually really good. Mike, did you shoot the ball? It was practical when it was bouncing off the walls.
I threw it badly. That's... Take after take of me misthrowing it.
Yeah, he's having trouble getting it up here, but finally.
My baseball career is not happening.
They almost got hit by the bottle cap. And then, of course, there were the two outfits, depending on what we needed to do with him for Raylan. He had the black one, and then he has the white beige one. And it always depended on sort of what was happening to him that episode, what he would wear.
If he's in a fight scene, he preferred not to wear that. He said it was sort of a straight jacket. He couldn't really have a full range of motion when it was.
He preferred the black one.
Yeah.
A little more movement.
The black one seems more like a fighting outfit as well.
I'm trying to remember if this had the line, after what happened to me on New Portland when my parents were killed. Or
I think we started, cutting that down a bit. This is just coming off of Thomas and Jax's falling out in number 5. Xander continuing drinking, which I guess he started pretty heavily in number 3.
It's still going.
Carrying that
still going on. He hasn't left. He's been drinking ever since.
Yeah, I saw that.
I
was there.
I got a B, and now I have a C because I fell asleep in class.
Exactly. So when she gets her report card, don't fall asleep in my class.
Incomplete.
It's incomplete.
Okay. It's okay in Vikash's class, but not in mine.
By all means.
And you guys really bonded. You and Vikash and Noah. I mean, you really got you guys.
Did you know anyone
so
before? Did you
easy.
Did you know those guys? No one knew anyone.
Not at all. No, we sort of hit it off straight off the bat, and we've had a couple of really fun nights out. Certainly in Bulgaria, I think we had one specific night where we sort of ended up about 2 o'clock in the morning at some establishment and just off from the park, sitting on a park bench and drinking beer until 2 o'clock in the morning and not realizing how late it had gotten when we started at about 10.
So, I love that you guys had all gotten along like that.
Yeah, Noah's brilliant. We have a sort of a professor's WhatsApp.
Professor's group. Office, yeah. Keep the kids off of that.
Yeah, we do. We call it Professor's Unplugged. So.
And that's very different than the one the kids have with all the students. I mean, I remember when they first put it together with Steve Hughes at on 101, and they said, "Oh, do you want to be on our WhatsApp?" I'm like, "No,
no,
I do not. I don't want to know what you're doing. Yeah. I don't want to."
My dad visited during this episode. He was very when the show got picked up and we were shooting in Bulgaria. He was the first person to invite himself to the set. And so it's pretty cool to have him come visit and be with Mike.
Yeah,
and
he's a guy. Cool,
and then,
huh?
Tommy,
really
you guys
cool.
got to drive to the airport together, so he wasn't alone.
He's a really cool guy, man. Yeah. So cool. So we had
a nice
journey.
You're both from the Midwest originally, as I myself. Midwest is best, so you guys all bonded. And thanks for taking care of him on the drive back to the airport, because I know it's going to be kind of boring there. Stuck
it was
the
not. He was so cool, man.
And Tommy's the only one who's not from Britain. He's you know from America, unlike the other two teachers who are British.
They are.
So our Harry Potter teachers, our Slytherin, and our Hufflepuff.
And although I spent so many years there, nearly 30.
I should point out I'm from England too, if you're wondering why my accent is so bizarre. Yeah. So I've been here a long time.
Tommy,
now, so
did you pick up any accent? Did you have any accent? Did people think your voice changed at all, the British accent, from being in England for so long?
When I came back, they couldn't quite, it just didn't sound fully American to them. It's probably more transatlantic, I think. So people often question it. But I think I never lost my American in all my years of living there.
And Mike? Has yours changed since you've been here?
Yeah, because
you
it becomes Australian.
the worst of all. Oh, my God. No offense to John
America
Kim.
Is Australia, which people keep saying, oh, my God, are you Australian? But no, that's a prison we built. I'm not Australian, no.
It's all the hanging out with Russell Crowe.
It's a place for the convicts.
Convict speak.
I belong nowhere now.
We all have a bit of Bulgarian now.
Don't trust her, Xander. She's the mole.
Just because she's buying a drink, don't trust her.
But it was great to have a Bond girl on the show. I mean, originally we'd wanted to get George Lazenby for this episode, and it was funny because Tom and I were really working on it. And then at one point, somebody said, "Who's George Lazenby at the network?" Like, "Oh, you know what? Maybe we don't need George Lazenby." So we wanted for the 50th anniversary of Her Majesty's Secret Service to have George Lazenby and Catherine Schell reunited. And apparently, I was the only one who cared.
And, Mike, for these dream sequences, you did a good idea of moving the floor outside the dorm room to get some different type of shots.
Well, it was to get a crane shot above. Yeah, the ceiling of the set was too low. but their floor is essentially just gray. So I asked them to build a separate section of the floor outside the set.
So a shot like this is outside, right?
Yeah, everything you from looking down from above is shot outside the actual set. Priscilla was not thrilled to lie underneath the camera on a crane, but in the end she did it. And I think it helps the scene because it gives you a different vantage point. There's quite a lot of it, quite a long scene. And so to be stuck inside those the eye lines on the ground would be, I think, a little bit dull after a while. This stuff was all added in post, obviously. It's super cool. This was not in the screenplay. This is something that Mark added later, but it just gives you that psychological aspect to it where it's less technological and more in terms of what her mind is doing.
And, you know, Max has gotten much better on the jib, so she had nothing to worry about.
Oh, no, it was totally fine.
Since episode 101 and 102, he's the master of the jib. It's like playing video games when you're, you know, sort of controlling with that joystick, the operating the jib, and he's so good with it.
And Ben, who plays Raylan, had to come up with the chant.
Yes, he did, and apparently it's somewhat based in Bulgarian. Although, because that was the language you guys had on hand, sort of thing, and it kind of sounds kind of alien.
He kind of did his own version of it.
I think he mangled Bulgarian.
Well, yeah. that was the thing, because for 101, he had to do a whole scene in Bulgarian, and he said, are you going to write something? And I said, well, we don't have time to create a whole language, but what I'd like to do is, why don't we use Bulgarian, but you only have it said to you once, and then you, Zatarian, is what you think you heard in Bulgarian. And so it's not actually Bulgarian. It's sort of a bastardized version of Bulgarian. But that way we can have syntax and grammar and all that.
Right.
You know, and he did it, and it worked out great. We've been doing it ever since. Although the Bulgarian actor who plays his dad does it straight up Bulgarian. So the Bulgarians know Zatarian is Bulgarian.
Right.
This is the lobby of the Marinella, which is a great spot to use here. It's bizarre.
You'd feel slightly ill after a while.
You walk in and it smells like Vegas.
There's a strange odor. It
smells like Vegas.
There's also, you can't find the entrance, also like Vegas.
Yeah.
You can't find your way out of there.
They also have albino peacocks hanging around outside.
That's right.
Great for sound.
All day and all night.
Just looking lost and miserable, walking around going, what the hell is this hotel? Why did you
make am I here?
And they're very good at stealing your nuts, believe it or not. The peacocks. You put them on the table, they come right up and take them right out of the bowl.
And this is Luke Featherton, and Luke did such a nice job, and we had never planned on bringing him back, the young Harlan Freed, but we liked Luke so much that Steve and I came up with this idea of, you know, sort of transplanting Ben Cross into Luke's body later in the season, because we thought Luke was very CW, and the network was really fond of him, so we came up with this idea of bringing Luke back as the young Harlan Freed, and it's worked out really well.
He's a nice guy. He had a big story about he just finished helping Renee Zellweger play Judy Garland. He was the consultant on Judy, and he'd been on Judy the whole time, and he was sort of consulting on him. He must have been an expert on the real Judy Garland.
Wow,
is
really?
That right?
Yeah,
I hadn't heard that story.
Yeah,
that's
story,
interesting.
Yeah, I saw a great thing on his Instagram. I think a photo.
About
him.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think apparently Renner did a great job, so he did a good job.
Oh, this is one of my favorite shots. I love this tracking shot. We go from the old to the new, so we go from, you know, and this to me is the whole show in a nutshell.
That was done in one real shot. That was, and the Bulgarians had a saying, because I like tracking a lot, and so the Bulgarians would look at me and go, okay, maximum track.
And this guy's an American who lives in Bulgaria now.
Yeah, Nathan, yeah. He gets a lot of work in Bulgaria now because he's a Western actor. He speaks perfect English. And he's a good actor, so he gets a lot of work when shows and movies do shoot in Bulgaria.
But I love this set. It's sort of Blade Runner. It's just sort of a cloakroom.
It was just not good.
Not good.
We scouted this place. We're like, we're going to do it here, but it's not good.
The walls were not effective.
Awesome, yeah.
These guys put this wall up super quick. Like the actual standard of craftsmanship in Bulgaria is really high. And they gave you no hassle about it. Like, I think they work fairly cheaply and fairly fast. And that wall just flew up. It was done in about a day, and it looks very effective. It's like a sci-fi movie.
It looks great.
And I love you go from the past to the future there, and then now, okay.
So good.
Dun dun.
Dun.
It's a traitor. I mean, you know, it's always challenging for the directors because, you know, every episode we're in the study and we're in the Osborne's home, and it's like finding a new way to shoot it.
This room is surprisingly small in real life, I have to say.
It is.
It's not perfect for filming. The actors carry it, But from a directing standpoint, you always want to get a wide shot where their feet are in the frame as well to establish the geography and just make it look more cinematic. This room's not. You
the
can't
desk
do it.
Takes up a lot of room in this.
Yeah, you room. Just can't yeah. do it.
But it looks great on screen.
Oh, it plays. Yeah. It plays on TV, no problem.
I know we had the scene where he gives him the gun because we wanted to sort of punctuate that with something. And it's like, well, doesn't he already have a gun? He's like, no, he has to sign out from the armor every time, and he doesn't want a trace of the gun. I was like, whole thing, really? Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I don't know, I guess.
Dude, if a guy gets given a gun, that's a scene right there. That's effective cinema, that is. Back to our ritual again. So this was obviously filmed in one block with our crane as part of the setup. So
now in this original script, this went to a huge action scene with motorcycles and a big shootout, which obviously we just couldn't do.
I wrote it brilliantly.
It was
said.
Yeah, I know it's a really good scene, you know, but we couldn't do it in 6 days. And
no, so we just basically went back and just did a recap in the edit in terms of her seeing something, because she wakes up very upset from this section of the narrative. So we needed to put something in here visually, and we just used the section of the actual murder so it would justify everything she's doing now.
And Alexander is great as Trump, or whatever he's named in this episode.
And Mark and I both got the worst review ever, which is the best review ever from a very right-wing website.
Oh, wasn't that the best?
That's my single favorite review I've ever gotten.
Made Earth great again. They're very angry about
it. It was actually a really well-written article.
It was.
Just saying, you know, they took the show really seriously, and they're just like, they're just attacking Make America Great Again.
Climate
change. Left-wing shows.
And
proselytizing against climate change, and it was just like this total right-wing hit piece on the show and how liberal we are and how awful this.
So we invited them to come to season two.
Absolutely,
Bulgaria. Right,
it was my
show.
Favorite review I've ever had of anything I've ever done.
It was a super point of pride.
What was the article then?
Right,
it was like
website.
Some conservative, and we had that on 102 too, where they were some conservative website. It's funny, we were getting all this attention from like the conservative websites talking, but they wrote in a very articulate, like they were quoting dialogue and pointing out the specific things.
Wow.
It was very
closely,
scholarly
yeah.
In terms of its vitriol.
Clearly a fan of Pandora.
But apparently they kept watching.
They watched it, yeah. I mean, they added exactly. to the viewing figures, which is nice, but their political views are not mine.
No, and obviously this episode very much is very political, because you're basically saying this guy would rather profit than fight global warming. He knows global warming is real, but he'll be dead by the time it becomes a real problem, so he just wants to profit on it, and he's like, make Earth great again. I mean, it's pretty in your face.
It's pretty in your face.
It's not subtle.
It ain't subtle, but it's exactly what the world needs to hear, so we're fine with that.
And, you know, even when... when I, you know, I shot the TV footage, the interview with him, I said, you know, at some point, you know, we're gonna just get, you'd written some great stuff, and I said, we're gonna ad lib, and he's like, I'm not really comfortable ad libbing. I said, and I sat there and explained the character to him, and he said, okay, I'll try. And then we did it for like 45 minutes. He was amazing. And he was so excited. He was like, that felt great, and da da da. And he was, I mean, he went full Trump. He was like, it's all fake news. I'm the greatest scientist.
Is he British that talks it?
He's British, yeah.
But he speaks in American accent. Okay.
I know more about climate change than anybody.
Yeah. I mean, it was so, he so got in a rhythm, and then he just didn't want to stop.
It.
He was great.
That's cool.
Opened Pandora's box.
He looks really young there for some reason. I'm not sure why. I think he just got shaved. Because it's amazing, because when you, even though he's older, when he's cleanly shaved, Oliver looks so young.
He's got a clean haircut.
Clean haircut, yeah.
Yeah, it's the haircut, I think it is. Yeah, that adds a lot to that. He's very good. He's a great actor and very easy to deal with, which is important from a directing standpoint. Like, you have to have the performance. You really need that. But someone who's actually quite a pleasure to work with is also such a boon when you're shooting a fast show and a quick show and you've got action to do and all the rest of it.
When he was a student, what was he like, Professor? What was he like in your class? Was he a good student? Or was he all right?
Xander. There are questions about Xander.
I was going to ask Tommy that. But, you know, obviously, you know, there wasn't a lot of time when we got greenlit when we had a shoot. So we cast this very quick. And yet, really, you guys just gelled immediately. I mean, you guys really get along and have a great time together. It's nice.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we've had it's been an enjoyable experience from the beginning. And even though I wasn't in every ep, every experience that I had with it was certainly enjoyable.
Had you been to Bulgaria before?
It was my first time.
Wow.
Like
yeah.
a lot of us.
Yeah, my very first time. So. And I have to say, it was a pleasure working with you.
Pleasure working with you, man. Yeah, no, you had a
work.
That day, we talked about the lecture scene. Mm. I mean, from an acting standpoint, that is hard to do. Like, they're technically hard to do. It's a big info dump, but you have to maintain a sense of character. You can't just give the information in a boring, dry way.
Mm.
And it's difficult information to convey because it's science fiction and by its nature.
Yeah.
I thought you did a great job.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
it was challenging.
Tough, yeah.
It was very challenging. You know, but I have to say, everyone was so committed in the scene. Even everyone who's in the students, the background actors, well, everyone really kept their focus during all of it, which was great as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think people like the behind the scenes tales to be awful, and I know I do. I prefer to hear about people hating each other. But Pandora was a well run show. Like, people were in a really good mood on the whole, making it, even though they were stressed and time was difficult and everything. The atmosphere on set was good every day. Which you can't always say about these things.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Well, you know, we had a lot of, you know, the cast really got along. You know, people really liked being there. And you know, the crew was excited because I think a lot of them worked on a lot of really schlocky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so for them, it was like an opportunity to sort of step up the game. They were super talented, but sometimes didn't get to work on the best projects. And so it was really nice that everybody was sort of rowing in the same direction.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, there are always going to be difficult days, and you're not going to have enough time or enough money. But, you know, overall, people really were committed, which is great.
I think there's something to be said as well about having a cast that is working completely in a different country, that there's a way of bonding much quicker and easier rather than being in somewhere like
totally.
L.A. where people just kind of finish and go home to their families and do their own thing. You know, so it was really great because everyone was able to hang out, go to dinner, go shopping. All the good stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there was so much of that going out to
go
dinners.
Hiking, get arrested.
You know,
go check their app.
It's like the difference between going to college, you know, locally and staying at home or going to college somewhere, you know, away from home and living in a dorm. And
it was like a summer camp.
Yeah.
It was like summer camp. So, yeah.
For everyone.
And one thing Priscilla did that I don't think people would realize is that she had a script reading in our hotel room the day before we started filming the episode. Which apparently she did for every episode, and that's just them taking the initiative themselves and trying to make the product better and trying to help each other. And, you know, that was something she organized herself. That's just that's someone with a good attitude.
Yeah, no, it was great because we did a script reading on 101 and 102, and, you know, before we started filming, and then that was something that the guys carried forward going forward. They kept doing the script readings, which was great. You know, which is tough is not everybody was always in town. Some people were going back and forth. Like Tommy would go back and forth and Noah would go back and forth. A lot of them, you know, wouldn't stay in Bulgaria.
But it was interesting because we would either hook up when we were in London together, Noah and I, and or when we were at the hotel, we'd get together and run stuff. You know, so I think everyone took it upon themselves to really try and gel and make it, you know, we're all in the same boat.
Here comes the Amazon drone.
Yeah, this is...
Yeah, Jeff Bezos is
very
sending
near future iconography here.
Also, Mike, in the pavilion scene, that was something we lucked out with. They set up that pavilion because a week later it was gone.
Yes,
but we saw that
Shakespeare
on
or something. Yeah,
on
it was
the ground.
A play,
we're
yeah.
like, hey, let's use it.
So. Yeah, all those chairs, we didn't have to put them there. It's true. It's just guerrilla filmmaking by us there, yeah.
And this is one of our very rare night shooting. We didn't do a lot of nights on this show, but this was one where we did it at night. And it's a great counterpoint between this beautiful day and then going to night. And, of course, the color timing on all the flashback stuff is a little heightened, a little hyper-real, you know, pulling
It's all the military academy, the quad with the gunfight, and this is
it's
out.
It's all the same day as the night shoot, so it's just a long day of filming. I remember she looked amazing in glasses. I think,
she's
a very sexy lady, and she looks amazing in glasses. But it just reflected the entire crew, including me. This take after take of me in reflected in their glasses. It was difficult.
Even with the dulling spray. I mean, we had a tough time with the glass jail cell as well for the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I bet you did. Yeah, that was difficult stuff.
And I
Priscilla was a bit nervous on this scene.
They both were.
Yeah, they both were, but they talked beforehand and got more comfortable about doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it goes really well.
Some people are extremely comfortable with those kind of scenes, and other people are... You know, it's more difficult. I mean, we've been on the set where people have to do love scenes where they'll drink a whole bottle of wine or more.
That's a hilarious line, by the way. Like, I think she's in pain, or I'm not. She's not in pain. Or,
yeah,
that's not pain. My big regret with the trees, the laser fight, of course, is that we didn't put in any tree damage, so the lasers can kill you, but they can't damage kill the trees.
No trees were that's some serious damaged bark. During the making of this episode.
It's a very strong bark. Strong bark. Exactly. Yeah. And this just looks great. This is also the presidential suite, or should we say the Stallone suite?
The same place, yeah.
That room actually looks good. The bedroom is nice.
Now, I will tell you something about this I probably should tell you. This is a visual effects shot. Now, you may say, why? Because you could see certain parts of her anatomy through the shirt, and the network was like, oh, we can't have that.
Oh, I did
and
not
so
know
we had to digitally remove her nipples from that shot.
Wow.
Wow. There you go. It's a behind-the-scenes story right there. There you go. I got it myself.
And, it's just something that CW standards and practice. It was one of the few standards and practices notes we ever got.
Well, that's all I'm going to see that
we
point,
didn't even notice. And, I mean, they were like, oh, no. And so we had became a special effects shot.
Wow.
Wow.
Stunt people here, Mike?
No, those are the actors. I think the only stunt was the actual takedown.
The takedown was the stunt guys.
Actors and did everything after that. They wanted to do the takedown. Oliver wanted to do the takedown, but... not wise because he's got another 6 episodes to shoot after this one.
But the role was them too.
Yeah, they did the fighting on the ground. Yeah, the stunt coordinator wanted to make it more complicated than it had to be.
Well, we had no time either.
I had no time, and also, I mean, the narrative was once he's taken down, then it's time for some information. You know.
But that's true of any scene with the stunt coordinator. They always want to make things bigger.
That's true, and you want that. You just have to push back sometimes yourself. You know, to make sure the story is paramount. That's all.
How much of time did you have on that? On that stunt?
Oh, 15 seconds.
that was the martini.
And it came very powerful.
That was the end of the day, so there wasn't a huge amount of time.
I was surprised they were pretty efficient on shooting the fights.
Very
efficient. In coverage and in the blocking. It was very good, actually.
Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah. I mean, you just have to... The way to direct fight scenes is to break them down into little sections and then film coverage on those sections. So you break it down into 4 or 5 moves, and then you make sure you have 2 cameras on those 4 or 5 moves. And then you make the last one overlap when you start the next one. The next 4 or 5 has an overlapping one that is the first and last previous section.
Yeah.
And then you run through the fight scene as if it's a dialogue scene almost, and you make sure you get coverage on it because you never know with a fight scene how it's going to be edited.
But Oliver, Priscilla, and Ben were very good at taking the choreography.
Oh, my God. Yeah, great.
If they didn't, it wouldn't have been nearly as easy as it was.
No, but from a directing standpoint, you can have stuntmen do 8, 9, 10, 12 moves in a row. You can't have actors do that. It's not sensible. It's not safe because of the range and all the rest of it. So you make sure you break it down to 3 or 4. And at 3 or 4, all the actors you talk about are excellent. Yeah.
Brilliant.
He's got some bad news for you, Doug.
Yeah. Ben, as we found out, could do 100% in... Number 12, flipping all over the place.
He's crazy good, isn't he?
Number 12, but he's like flipping around.
Wow, man, yeah.
Ben is
unleashed
great.
His superpowers on
his
that one.
Inner ninja.
And he loves doing it. Yeah. You know, he can't. You know, he always wants more, so. Yeah.
He looks good doing it.
Big reveal here.
It is.
Yeah, some good character development for Osborne. We sort of realize maybe why he's the way he is.
But then we realize he's just being Noah, you know? Being himself.
Being himself.
No acting.
How come he's not wearing a little sleeping cap?
He threw it across the room.
He really does need it with a little tassel on the end of it.
Why are you bothering me again?
He doesn't stay at the mansion also. They got a lot of rooms.
And I love the exterior of the mansion because I walk by it so many times.
Oh, yeah, totally.
The opera house?
Yeah.
Which is hilarious because, I'm sure when people in Bulgaria are watching the show, they're like, what?
It's on the National Theater.
Like, that's cool. Yeah. They digitally took out the lettering on the building. Everywhere else, it's like no one's seen it before and it looks great. Yeah.
There was a nice ending to this, too, where Osborne was going to go and kill Miriam Diabo, the mole, and Xander does it before he can to spare Osborne the pain of having to kill her. And... But, you know, now he goes pretty dark, and the network is like, it's too dark, you can't do that to Xander. It's like, now he's a killer. It's like, no, he's doing it to spare the pain.
This is Jackson Thomas have made up, finally, and
This is moved on. Astral Jax.
Astral Jax.
Astro.
Astro.
Which is different than Flashback Jax.
All filmed against green screen, and the actor's favorite type of filming.
And what's nice about this, Mike, is you're basically doing the same scenes you did at the beginning of the episode, but from a different, they're all subtly differently shot. So
Rashomon.
The fight scene is different, and the perspective. So just there's a subtle difference, which is really, really nice.
Same douchebag inside, though. Stallone's favorite episode, Mike. He's just can't stop watching it. He's like, what are they doing in my room?
I hope you watch it and go, why do I stay there?
And did we move in the TV or you just green? No,
the TV was there. It was green.
Yeah, it was green on
the tracking marks.
There it is.
Yeah. Whoop.
Someone somewhere is really offended right now.
No, they were super, super offended. But I appreciated the thoughtfulness of the article.
Yeah, absolutely. It was well written, like you say.
They took the show seriously enough to write something that outraged.
Yeah.
And they made it to episode 7, so clearly they were enjoying the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure they watched the rest of it as well, hating every second of it and watching everything.
And getting invested.
Getting invested, yeah.
Oh, off comes the wig. Guess who?
So this was a different perspective on this first part of the fight scene, so you could change it.
Yeah, and this episode was cut by our editor, Kieran, who did a really nice job and a terrific cutter. And he's a young editor and really did great. We actually really, really, really happy with him. He cut 103, 107, 110, did some of our best episodes.
I think I actually remember watching this episode and rewinding and watching this again because it was so good.
Mike, the double hit is great.
That's a spinning back fist there, which Priscilla obviously didn't understand. Then did it really well. Did really well.
Yeah, she really.
Astral Jax is like, damn, I'm good. This is
so
cool.
Good.
I like being in the past. Make Jax great again.
And it's great because I think that after this, a lot of people said, what? Who is she? Clone? Is she, who is she? How is this possible? And that's exactly what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
She's pretty brutal.
Thomas is like, I like this other Jax better. It's more interesting.
I can get on board with this one.
One thing we talked about with Priscilla, remember, she and I discussed it. She's basically playing two different parts in this episode. And her instinct was to play the previous Jax, the past Jax, in a sort of very timid fashion, almost like she didn't know what she was doing and being manipulated. And I said, no, I think it's because you're miserable and suffering in the present tense, in the past tense, you should be like a Bond girl and be a complete badass. And that's the way we played it, and I think it is a good contrast.
Oh, and that's absolutely what it should be, because at this point she's on a mission, and you know, knowing what happens later on, it's like, she's given up her faith in humanity. I mean, she's trying these bad people. She's so she's very. She's motherfucking Charlie Bronson.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
And an important story point here. This is the whole point of the episode: is that young Harlan Freed is in fact hot.
Yeah.
Jax was not crazy.
Made very
clear. He was hot.
Just to get to that joke. And this is interesting because, originally, Tommy, what we did in the classroom is there was always these holograms.
The holograms,
and stuff,
yeah.
But we ran out of effect shots that we could do in this episode. Mm. We were maxed out. So we had to cut it to get rid of the holograms.
Well, I think that you kept the Harlan Freed one.
Well, that was important for telling the story.
In number 9, we took out the arc ships.
Yeah.
But a lot of that stuff
that's
went
right.
away
yeah.
because
yeah.
they were so pressed, they were so over on their shot count that we had to really get rid of a lot of superfluous effects.
Here it is.
See, he's looking up at something that.
Oh, the one.
Originally it was like
there were going to be fleets of spaceships.
Yeah.
So. I shot it brilliantly, but it didn't happen.
This 109 was such a big effect show; it like ate up a ton of shots. And then we do like virtually no effects for 10, 11, and. His 12 was such a monster.
At least I don't feel so distracted by the holograms anyway. There you go.
Or Jax falling asleep.
Exactly.
She stayed awake during this lecture.
I love this suit. He looks like Cary Grant, North by Northwest. I remember I went up to Luke and I said, I don't normally come up and compliment people on their suits, but I have to tell you, this is, you know, an amazing, you look
amazing.
Did he
ask to keep it? That's what a lot of the guests ask. Can I keep this? Can I keep this?
I said, like, you look like Don Draper or like Cary Grant in the North by Northwest. And he was like, oh, thank you.
Such a great look.
I think he enjoyed being a bad guy this day. I think
he did because he's such a nice guy. And, you know, a lot of the stuff, he works a lot, but he's always playing like the assistant or, you know.
Where did you get that background? Say the earth thing. Like
the art department made it.
They made a giant.
They made it. They did another one for the negative aspect of the negative campaign as well. That's the kind of thing that they do in Bulgaria. They'll tell you, you ask him for a sort of big prop to be made.
It's better than the Seeker one, number 13.
Don't remind me. Don't even.
Was that your rap gift? put on your
got
house?
Something
that
for you.
Seeker banner, man. Don't even start. I was like, ugh. And you always get it the day of, so you can't make any changes.
Everything was the day of. Like, everything's like, whatever it is.
It's like, it's stapled on. It's like, ugh. You know, and then even this is a little off. It says leave and save. It should say leave and live for, like, the alliteration. But, like, leave and save. It's, you know, it's just like, everything's just a little off. But it's good.
Still working.
Yeah. And then the fleet training academy, you see a lot of these t-shirts. This is an idea we had to give a lot of them. Because we're like, people wear logo wear. And, you know, so it's like, why wouldn't they in the future? So we gave, you know, put the logos of, you know, fleet training academy, Parallax, and different companies on the shirts.
There it is. Wait, what is that place? Did you ever go in?
I didn't. It was closed on the day that
it's a museum.
I was going. Yeah.
No, it's the Opera House.
The National Theater.
National Theater. I think they do have tours, but I didn't go inside.
It's a gorgeous building.
And here Lola's returning, which we really enjoyed having Lola with us for a couple episodes. Terrific playing Kassara.
I thought Osborne was going to come downstairs.
we joked about that.
What's really going on?
Yeah, I was doing a tape note about it.
Just have different people coming down.
It's a bed and breakfast.
Raylan comes down. We're like, what's going on? Like, this alternate. We don't know which version we're going to use.
It's a bed and breakfast. Now, here's the famous ending. I love this. I think this looks beautiful. This jib shot.
This was the first thing we shot.
And it's right outside.
Right.
Last shot of the
with the wrong name.
First shot
with the grave.
Yeah, I think they had made it, but we like wanted to put a different name on.
Yeah.
Well, we changed in a separate draft, but they never.
We didn't know. We didn't know who. Mark, when you did this, you didn't know who was going to be walking up. Not
we had
exactly.
No idea. We had no idea for many weeks after this who this was.
Everyone else thought they knew what it was.
We didn't figure it out till 112.
It's the joy of directing a TV show. You direct bits that haven't been resolved yet. That's what you do.
Anyway, great episode. It was super, super fun. We learn a little bit more about the history of the future thanks to our favorite professor.
We do indeed.
Yeah.
All about the migration, the history.
You know, we're just going to give Tommy a bunch of stuff to read for the next episode.
Just start talking.
just say more exposition.
Whatever,
Well, thank you guys for joining us for 107
awesome
Time
work,
Out
man.
Of Mind. And we'll see you again for 108 next week with Tirsa Hackshaw as she talks about Under a Red Sun as they go to Euphoria 7. You've heard about it. Now you can experience Summer solstice.
Or winter solstice or whatever it is.
So we'll see you.
Part of the galaxy.
We'll see you on Euphoria 7. It'll be a party, that's for sure. So to Steve, Mike, and Tommy, thanks for joining us.
Awesome, thank you.
See you next time as we close the box on Pandora.